Man, it's good to see you guys this morning. I'm so glad that you're in Sunday school this morning with us. As Brother Chris said, we want to remember the Graves family, Jim and Esther, too, as you know, they're experiencing another loss of their granddaughter. And also, you know, we have several people out this morning. Some are sick, I know of, and then some, I know Reese is sick, and we have several in this group of ours that are having procedures done throughout the month. I know Bryce said Deborah was doing some better, but they made some progress this week on trying to figure out what she had and what she didn't have. But pray for Deborah. We miss her. Missed her last week as well. And, of course, Lizzie mentioned this morning her granddaughter, Morgan, is ill, so pray for her. But we got a lot of things to pray about and a lot of things to be thankful for. Amen? And I'm glad that you're here. We're going to be looking at two different passages of Scripture. And the first one is Mark 2 and then Romans 14. And here in just a moment, we'll look at that after we start the Sunday school lesson off in a word of prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for the chance to be in your house, and we ask God that you'd speak to us from your precious word, and we know each of us have things in our head that might be concerning us, things that might be weighing us down or things we're unsure of, and God, we just ask for these few minutes, and then again in the message, as Brother Fobbs preaches to us this morning, I pray, God, that we'd be able to forget those things and dwell upon the goodness found in God's word. Thank you for each person here, our visitors as well, Rosa and Valerie that are here this morning. And we pray for each of those that are not here this morning that are sick for whatever reason, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them and that they would have a good week as well. Lord, we love you this morning, and it's such an honor and a privilege to be able to come to this place and break the bread of life and to pray together. I pray, God, that you would give us leaders who will always protect that freedom to be able to worship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to be in two passages this morning, and the first is Mark chapter 2 and then Romans 14. I love this passage in Mark chapter 2. I've always loved this story, and so it's one of those that I like to, I don't have the time to do this, but I like to read very slowly and talk about, but for the purposes of the lesson, we'll read it and get on with it. And we're going to start in verse number 1, Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. As Brother Strunk would always say, it's on page number 975. In my Bible, if that helps you out. By the way, pray for Brother Strunk. I don't mean to get you off kilter here, but Brother Strunk's having some physical issues, and just pray for him. And hopefully we'll be able to see him this year. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days." This is Jesus we're talking about. "And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four, or carried before people. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, or for the crowd that was gathered around about, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Now, I don't want to brush through that phrase there. This is quite an effort that these four individuals made. They uncovered the roof. They got on top of the roof, first of all, Stacy, and then they uncovered the roof, and then they broke it up to get this man to Jesus. What an awesome thought for Mission Sunday. Amen? And verse 5 says, "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" I love this story because I see in the actions of these four individuals, followers of Jesus who loved a man enough to get him to Jesus who couldn't make it by himself. I see four individuals who saw the value of getting this man past the press or the crowd. Couldn't get through the front door, so this action was taken to get up on the roof and uncover that roof and to break that roof so they could lower that bed into the room where Jesus was so Jesus could touch the man. What a thought for Missions Sunday. Now, in Mark chapter 2, Jesus does quite a few things. We're not going to be able to read the chapter for time's sake. But in the first 12 verses that we just read, Jesus heals this man sick of the palsy, much to the consternation of the hypocrites who didn't like the way he did it. And then right after this, Jesus calls Matthew, called Levi, same man, tax collector. Nobody likes a tax collector. But Jesus saw past who he was and what he did and whatever kind of fraud or financial misdealings that he had done to people. Jesus saw right past that, and he touched the man and told him to follow him. And then from that little scenario, we go into Jesus taking the time to eat a meal with the publicans and the sinners. People that the Jews would have thought are not worthy to be near Jesus, but Jesus takes the time to eat with them. And it shows who Jesus is. He reaches out to those who are sick in body. He reaches out to those who are sick in mind, being mischievous and maybe even evil like Matthew may have been. And then he takes the time to eat and fellowship with the publicans and the sinners. And all these times he's criticized by the self-righteous, hypocritical Pharisees and what he does. And his response to those people who complained that he was taking time to eat with the sinners said, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." That's Missions Sunday right there. That's Missions Sunday right there. Now, when we read the story, we saw these men or these individuals bring this man to Jesus and go through all this trouble. It reminded me of several years ago, the Singing Wills family were in here. They've been here quite a few times. And they wrote and produced and sung a song called "Tear the Roof Off." You remember that? That's about this story right here. And that song was written to help remind church members, church families, to bring in people of all ages into this place so they could get to Jesus. Now, by the way, that's what we do on Wednesday night, or all these drivers that bring in these kids, and they sit right over here, and Brother Chris sometimes has to get on to them like he did Wednesday night a little bit, you know, because they're kind of rough and rowdy. But that's bringing people to Jesus. That's doing what we can to make sure these young people are under the sound of the gospel. And now that comes with all kinds of problems. We know that. Sometimes they're so rowdy you'd think they are taking the roof off up there. But this for some people will be the, for some of those children, some of those young adults will be the only opportunity that they can have to be saved. The only opportunity to be under the sound of the gospel. Brother Stacy, when he has children's church, has no idea, none of us know the future, but we do not know the seed that is implanted into those kids by hearing the words of Jesus. And I'm so proud, I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that recognizes that. So they tore the roof off. But I want to kind of bridge off for just a few minutes, and I want to bring you a lesson that I have called, it's called Keep the Roof Off. Keep the Roof Off. Now, in Romans chapter 14, where we'll be the rest of the lesson, we've been in Romans 14 several times in the past few months. And many of our lessons have eventually ended up in subject matter relating to the themes of Romans chapter 14. One of them is unity. Brothers and sisters in the church, brothers and sisters in the family of God getting along. Stronger brothers and sisters encouraging the weaker brothers and sisters. Another theme is our responsibility to God for ourselves. If I do something, I'm responsible to God for that. There are consequences in life, yes, but other than the consequences that I may have to go through for my actions, I have to give an account to God for that. And when I do that, Lizzie or Pat or Rosa, they don't have to stand before God for my actions. I do. So those themes we've seen in Romans 14, and those are valid and those are good for the family, but I want to bridge that thought to include those who have never been saved, lost people. Because we have a lot of visitors. We have a lot of visitors at this church. Now, some we see back many, many, many times. Some join the church and some we never see back. But I believe the Apostle Paul in Romans 14 lays down an attitude for us to adopt. He lays down a tone and a tenor. He lays down thinking for us to adopt about people. Now, granted, Romans 14 is about the church, but he lays down concepts about how you treat people. And it lets us know, if you read Romans 14, that our Lord loves people. He cares for people. In the Roman church, there were weaker Christians who were not very strong, and the Apostle Paul admonished the stronger Christians to act in such a way toward these weaker people that they were encouraged in their faith. Well, similarly, when we have visitors, or when you and I are out in the community and we're at the store and we're at work, we're around all kinds of lost people, I believe the same concept holds true, that if anything, I should not be anything but an encouragement to people to see Jesus. For sure, I shouldn't be a hindrance, but beyond being a hindrance, not being a hindrance, I should have the desire to be encouraging to people, to bring them to the Lord. Now, real quick, we've talked about this before, but if Romans 14 were truly believed and adhered to all these years, the past several hundred years, Brother Albert, there wouldn't be very many churches. There wouldn't be nearly the number of churches and denominations that we have today, because we'd be getting along. And granted, when it comes to truth or non-truth, the truth of God's word, we should be firm. We should not allow error into the church. And Brother Chris and Brother David, they preach God's word without opinion, and that's why I love to be here. We've been here a long time, and so that's good. But unfortunately, in the past several hundred years, there have been many, 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 many churches and denominations and Christian schools that have split because of a preference, something not clearly stated in God's word. And the examples I've used in the past, maybe the color of the chairs that were chosen, or the color of the carpet, or a design of a building or something. And people are different. Linda, you and I are different. We have different concept for what we buy, the products that we buy. So if I let that come in between me and Linda as a brother and sister in Christ, then I'm doing the wrong thing. Because that's not important. Now, if I would get up here and start teaching false doctrine and not teaching God's word, then you have a responsibility to Linda, to kick me out of here. Because that's important. That's God's word. That's what he wants us to hold to. But God's people shouldn't have just little differences that drive them apart. You know, we should get along. We should love each other enough to get along. And so Romans 14 was written. And we've, like I said, we've gone through that. Look, we're all getting older. Say amen. We're getting older. Lindsay, I didn't look at you for any certain reason there, okay? Do you know that happens sometimes? Somebody will come up to me and say, "You looked at me when you said that." What? We're all getting older, and it's hard to accept things. Now, this morning at 5:20, just to give you a quick 4:20, you know, we already had the time change. And I like to get up at 5 anyway on most mornings. But at 4:20, I was awoken, Brother Jerry, by two or three vehicles burning rubber in the neighborhood. And it was I heard two or three different engines, and it went on for like 3 minutes. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you woke me up. Then my second thought was, where are the policemen that patrol this neighborhood? But then beyond that, because, you know, we're not exactly what we need to be all the time, say amen, I got kind of bitter, Brother Albert. I started thinking, well, I hope one of you guys just shred your transmission all over that road. You know, I hope to get up tomorrow, Albert, and see springs and gears and all of, but that's because we're getting older and we don't like to be woke up at 4:20 in the morning. We're getting older and we don't like to endure things that are different from us. And today's Mission Sunday, and Brother Fobbs will talk about our missions, our responsibility in taking part in supporting missions in Brazil and Ecuador and all these places. But I just want to dwell for just these few minutes that we've got left on the lost people that you and I are around every day. The lost people that may come in here, because we have a lot of visitors and the church is welcoming, and I'm glad of that. But we have a lot of visitors, and I just want to say that we can take the same concepts that the Apostle Paul gave in Romans 14 about brothers and sisters getting along to Christians and sinners getting along. Not accepting their ways, not accepting what they do that's bad for themselves, bad for, you know, their family, and not any of that, but people that come in here who might be searching. Did you know that we all were created to give God the glory? We were created to give God glory. And I truly believe, as we heard on the radio this morning coming in, I truly believe that people are often searching and they don't even know they're searching. They identify with this or that, the sport that they're in, or they identify with a club or maybe how they look or something. And within each person, we find this mentioned several times in God's word, within each person there is something that tells them they were created for the honor and glory of God himself. And we have the utmost privilege when those people are coming through that back door there, that front door, and through those doors, we have the utmost privilege to be able to influence that. So if they look different, they might even smell a little bit. You know, you never can tell. They look a lot different. They have things on their bodies that we don't have. They wear clothes that we don't wear. What's important in this situation? Is it the clothing that we wear or the appearance that we have? Not on your life. You know what's important? What's important is that soul that's in that individual. That person who's seeking for something. They may not know they're seeking, but they're seeking to give God glory in their life. And that'll be an empty hole until they do. Let's read a few of these verses to see an application of this. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Weak in the faith. You could say these are believers that were sincere, but who've not been able to mature in their faith. They've not let go of their past. And here the Apostle Paul says, I want you to receive them. And what that means is to personally and willing receive or accept. So when that person walks through the door back there, because of the stake at hand, because so much is critically important at this point in time, we want them to come back, but more importantly, we want them to be saved. We want, if they already are saved, we want them to mature in their faith. And the Apostle Paul says, I want you to accept that person, to personally and willingly receive, not just as a show on the outside, but take them into your heart. And then he says, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, we don't use that word, but that phrase just simply means don't receive them just so you can pass judgment on them because they're not like you are. Receive them for the purpose of being able to bring them to the Lord, or in the case of weaker brothers and sisters in Christ, helping them mature in the faith. And then we go to verse number 2, and he says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now remember, this verse was about the church family. And because the Roman church had Gentiles and the Roman church had Jews, some Jews were strong in their faith and some were weak. And so some Jews realized that they had freedom in the Lord and certain days of the week didn't bother them, and eating meats that had been offered to idols did not bother them. But there were other Jews who had weaker consciences, and they strong consciences and weaker faith. And when they would associate a certain day to mean something from their past, those were the Jews. And then the Gentiles had their own set of things too. There were certain strong Gentiles in the church, and then there were weak Gentiles in the church. And the Apostle Paul says, there's such a diversity here. One believeth he can eat all things, the other who is weak just eats herbs. In verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. That word despise just means to have contempt for someone is worthless. He says, look, let not him that eateth critique and hold contemptible the person who doesn't eat. And verse 4 says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Now, we don't have servants today much. I mean, some parts of the world does. But back then they had servants. And the Apostle Paul says, well, what right do you have to judge your brother's servant? That's your brother's job. And the Apostle Paul is using the analogy of a servant to help us see that we're all responsible to the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves. Person that walks in that door back there are not going to be judged by me. And whatever I think, whatever opinions I have, whatever preferences, God will be judging them. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Paul says, I want you to like me, but I don't really care if you do, because God's judging me. He's going to determine whether I'm right or wrong. And the subject continues in verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You know what that is right there? In his own mind, that's our conscience. And the Apostle Paul was trying to get the Roman church to hold to their conscience. You know, the conscience is a pretty powerful thing. It's something that God places within each of us, a sense of right and wrong. And it's not healthy if we go against our conscience. So if there's something here that we're considering doing and you have no problem with that thing, you do it and it's something that's not going to take you away from the Lord, but possibly I, from having another background, it's a problem for me. And I don't want to do that thing. I don't want to do that thing that may take me away from the Lord. What the Apostle Paul is trying to get us to see is that we're different here and we have no business judging each other because we're both individually responsible to the Lord. He that regardeth, in verse 6, the day, or observes the day, regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. See, the motive here is not observing the day or eating the meat or not eating the meat. The motive, our intention, should be in pleasing the Lord. If I know this thing's going to be a potential problem to me, if I do this thing, it's going to take me away from the Lord. Maybe I'm weak in that area. Then I got no business to doing it, because if I do this thing, I may end up displeasing my Lord. And that's the conscience that he's talking about. The Holy Spirit gives us each of that individual ability to see what we should be doing or not. For those things that are not clearly laid out in Scripture as black and white, he gives us a conscience. The Holy Spirit directs us. He leads us based off of what God's Word says and the conscience that he gives us. He gives us the ability to do it or to not do it. And then in verse 7, he says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Now, once again, Romans 14 was written to the church. It was written to the church family, the Church of Rome. But I'm bridging it over to Missions Sunday. Those lost people that we come across, the unsaved, the people that have no idea what it means to be a Christian. When I get around them, I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility and a privilege, and I should have a love to tell them who Jesus is. I should have a responsibility. I should care about them enough to show them the way of salvation in the Scriptures. Why? Because no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. And God doesn't want me just to seclude myself as a child of God into a closet and never affect anyone at all. He wants me to affect others for his sake. And verse 8 continues, it says, "For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die," guess what? We are the Lord's. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord," now look at this, "both of the dead and the living." So Missions Sunday. God wants to be Lord over his people. Let me tell you a secret. He wants to be Lord over the lost man that comes in here in just a few minutes too. He wants to be his Lord as well. And who are we to look at him because he looks different, or because he stinks, or because he talks funny, or whatever? You draw your own line and put whatever answer you can in there. Who are we as children of God to stop that process by being judgmental and critical of who he is? We're nobody. Christ freed us from sin, and we want to give that guy right there the opportunity to be freed from sin as well. He says in verse 10, and I'll tie this up, "But why dost thou judge," or just means condemn, "why dost thou judge thy brother," condemn thy brother, "or why dost thou set at naught thy brother?" And then what's it say? "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." This is Mission Sunday. Our mission should be to, when I work with this individual, when I see this individual in the grocery store, when I meet this individual in just a few minutes here that I may have never met before in my life, realize that both me and him we're both going to stand before the Lord. And we don't live to ourselves, we live for each other. So if I carry that same thought into Mission Sunday, I think I ought to be back there and getting to know that guy, don't you? I should have enough love for him. Now that's not easy. You know that's not easy. It's awkward. Stranger you never met. It's awkward to go up and try to strike up a conversation. But you know what? Often, Brother Stacy, a conversation is not even necessary. Just show them you care about them. Hey, glad you could be with us this morning. If I can help you in any way, if I could do anything for you, you let me know. My name's Dwayne. You open the door. You just open the door for them to come back. You open the person's heart to be more susceptible to that message that Chris Fobbs has here in just a few minutes. It's the same train of thought. The Apostle Paul wrote the chapter for brothers and sisters in Christ, not offending each other and getting along, but we can hold it for Mission Sunday and say, hey, God cares about that person so much that he died for him. He loves that person. And who am I to stand in the way? Who am I not to go to the utmost nth degree, forgot the phrase, the nth degree to do what I can to make sure he comes back or she comes back or needs something or needs some prayer or needs some encouragement so that person can have what I've got. Isn't that great? The Apostle Paul just helps us. He just helps us to see that we live way beyond ourselves. And on the flip side, and I got about 2 minutes, on the flip side, look down in verse number 13. Here he's talking about brothers, but we can once again hold it, bridge it over to the unsaved. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, if anything, maybe I'm not very outward or maybe I'm not very cordial and very loving, but if anything, I don't want this to happen. I don't want to be the stumbling block of that man who comes in. And whether I say something or whether I maybe just ignore him or you never know when people are emotionally sensitive. Sometimes we get unstable in how we're thinking. I don't want to be a stumbling block to stop that person from considering accepting Jesus as his personal Savior. And although Paul was talking about offending each other and standing in each other's way to grow in our faith, I think we can safely say that he would have said the same thing about the lost. Don't be a stumbling block to the lost. Don't be somebody that's going to be a wall for people to not see the Lord. Because see, that's what the unsaved needs to see. They need to see somebody who's, the unsaved already has. They don't want to come in here and see. When the Apostle Paul was talking about disunity and the quarreling and not getting along, the world don't need to see that. They already got that. When they come in here, they need to see something else. They need to see a reason for the hope that's within us, as Paul said. They need to see a reason to stick around a few more minutes and even though we're different and we may not talk like they talk, but have a reason to stick around and hear this thing out and hear what Brother Fobbs has to say in just a few minutes. That's what we desire. That's what missions is. Now, in just a minute, as I said, Brother Fobbs will probably talk about worldwide missions, and we should, as we prayed a minute ago, we should always be willing to support worldwide missions. But we have a mission field right here. We have a mission field right here, and it behooves us to never forget that. Would you pray with me? Father, as we close the lesson, God, I just pray that